You're good? All right, let's get started then. I'd like to welcome everyone to our city council meeting, July 27th of July 2021, 6:30 regular meeting, starting a little late. We'll start off, Coulter, will you lead us in the pledge?
Absolutely.
And we'll have Rondi say the opening prayer.
Can you repeat the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our dear Father in heaven, we're so grateful to be able to gather here together as community, as residents of this beautiful place. We call Mount Pleasant, and we call it home, and we pray that we may have thy guidance in solving the problems we face as a community, and that we may continue to do what is necessary to make a better place for our families and our kin, and for future generations. And we give thee thanks for the water that thou hast bestowed upon this community recently. And we're grateful for the water and the forecast. We pray that we may continue to get rain throughout this week, and we may have enough for our needs and for this community. And we're so grateful for all our blessings, and for especially the blessing to call Mount Pleasant home. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Next, roll call.
Justin.
Here.
Kevin.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
From Russell.
Here.
Haskett. Want to call you both. Rondi.
Here.
And Sam.
Here.
Okay, next is approved claim register dated 7/10/2021 to 7/26/2021 in the dollar amount of $436,213.53.
I hope you can answer my question, Jenny. I see a whole lot on here for insurance. I mean, general liability, property insurance. Let me go down here. We get it again on another page.
It's the Utah local government's liability workers' comp insurance, and that's our annual
insurance. I just see it. It's just scattered all the way through there. We just keep paying.
Yeah, for our vehicle that comes from all departments, it's for a bunch of stuff. So Dave has to take it out of almost every department's line.
That's why
it's all
throughout
there.
Okay.
You're still doing like the defensive driving after them?
Like the class?
Yeah.
I don't know how recently they've done it, but we just started a new program with the trust called the They Got a Cantola Training that I can send it out by email to each individual person that needs to do it. They can do it on their own time. When they're done, it sends it back to me telling me that they're done. I think that is one of the courses I can send them to do.
Okay. I know they was giving us better right here if we complete some of that stuff on the form. So.
And I can't remember. I can't get into my email to look for you, but I know that we actually went down this year in rates too because of good things that happened last year. And, I know it seems like a lot, but it's actually a little lower than it was the year before.
Someone want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. We approve the invoice register from July 10th to July 26th, 2021, in the amount of $436,213.53.
Second that motion.
We have a motion by Justin, seconded by Rondi, to approve the claim register dated 7/10/2021 to 7/26/2021 in the dollar amount of $36,213.53. Roll call.
It was $400.
$400, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'll better repeat that. $436,213.53.
Justin.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Russell.
Yes.
Rondi.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
Okay, next is a requisition 72620210944 to Irby for some power poles and one out wire. The dollar amount of $25,867.30.
It's just stop. We're kind of throwing on deep ground, need to get a full load of poles. And so they asked us, and so we're throwing those extra 10 poles on top of their load so they can have a full load. And so we're getting those 35 footers and then the 5. What was it, 10?
12. 12, 30, 30, 5, 35.
Yeah, 12 and 5, yeah. So to finish out their load.
What else is all these are two separate ones here? I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, one's from meters and the other one's from.
So I'll make the motion. We approve the requisition from Irby for the poles in the amount of $10,017.
$25,000.
Yeah, $25,000. I think you're looking at the breakdowns. There's 10,000 plus the 11,000.
Okay.
So it's 25,000.
And there were,
so there's more than poles on there.
Yeah, there's a little wire.
Okay, I guess I didn't realize we were approving them all together. So, yeah, and the amount of 20 for the requisition, I guess I'll just read the number 726-2021-0944 and the amount of $25,867.30.
Second. Okay, the motion by Justin, seconded by Kevin to approve requisition 726202-10944 to Irby, dollar amount of $25,867.30. Roll call.
Justin.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Russell.
Yes.
Rondi.
Next is requisition 726202-10934 to Carlston Sales.
Yeah, that's for 96 meters. There, our lead time is all the way out there. You look on there, it's only about 23 to 30 weeks. And so we thought we better jump on it now. We have 50 meters left. So we want to make sure that we get something shorter. And that's for a full pallet.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve requisition 726202-10934 for Carlson Sales Metering Solutions in the amount of $19,680.
Second.
Okay, the motion by Russell, seconded by Sam to approve requisition 726202-10984 to Carlson Sales Metering Solutions. The dollar amount of $19,680. Roll call.
Justin.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yes.
Russell.
Yes.
Rondi.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
The mayor. There is one more that was not under. Jim is here to personnel out of state travel request.
Just an FYI on those meters, they are what we call the SD meters, so they have a service disconnect in them. So they will come ready to, we can put them anywhere on our system, and the girls in the office will be able to control during shutoffs and all that, so we don't have to go out and shut them off. Mm-hmm.
So it's a meter, it's a,
yeah.
So from the remote you can...
That's pretty much what a standard what we're going to now. So.
Okay.
Just in connection with our out-of-state training, this is the Utah Narcotics Officers Association. conference that we sent an officer, Sergeant Taylor, to. The task force, Happy County Task Force, will pick up the registration fee and just have to pay for the room and board. So just want to get your approval for that. It'll be August 10th through the 12th.
Where are you going to, Jim?
What's that?
Where are you going?
It's for Sergeant Taylor. It's the Utah Narcotics Officers Association training, but they have it in Mesquite.
In Mesquite, okay.
And it's, they get certified on, they do meth lab certification, federal marijuana recertification, and just some stuff that he's happy to be familiar with as we start getting into the investigation stuff, you know, where he's going to be having a task force work with him on different cases in the city, so he's got to be certified for that.
I'll make a motion to approve that.
I'll second.
Okay, the motion by Sam, seconded by Russell, to approve out-of-state travel for Officer Sergeant Taylor. What's it, Sergeant? Sergeant Taylor, August 10th through the 12th to Mesquite, Arizona for training. Roll call.
Justin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Russell?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Thanks. Next, recognize Citizen of the Month. And this month, I can't say.
Both lines at once.
Yes, I know. This month, we'd like to recognize Dave Wheeler. Just like to read a little thing here that's going on in our newsletter about Dave. Dave has been chosen a Citizen of the Month. Dave recently sold his Wheeler's Drive-In, which he has owned for 35 years. During that time, Dave was very generous with gift certificates for our recreational program and for reading programs at the elementary school. He has also donated to the San Pete Pantry. Dave served in the LDS Church as young men's leader and as bishop at Snow College. We want Dave to know how much we appreciate all his time and dedication to our community. Thank you, Dave.
I just got a call from Junior Jazz, and that's been many years ago. It was always great to have Dave donate the kids an ice cream cone and everything else. So it's been very generous.
Thank you.
Okay, I have to stand by the mirror for now.
Give him a gift certificate to Wheeler's, too.
She told me. Sorry, I had to be here.
I thought you were going to help her come up with a body to get here.
You got to go see how they get money out.
He was talking about
that. That's busting the girls' approval.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you.
Next item is Celeste Chase.
She's not here, but
her husband's here. Okay. We had the discussion last month about them, or last city council, about them wanting to close 400 East, 400 North to 500 North on First East for a block party.
You know, is that Jim?
There's not much there.
There's two houses that involved.
That's kind of what I thought.
Does anybody even use that road?
Didn't we talk to somebody about insurance or something on liability or something like that? If we had anything with this?
I think we were just gonna run it by Kevin just to make sure there was no concerns, but
And maybe that's not necessary, I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against it, I just was...
Yeah, we just, I remember that.
Just had that on the agenda.
No, I was gonna say, that just cost us another...
I think game call, we should get people in the community to get together and enjoy each other's company and
pay people.
Communicate with each other, it's a good thing.
It's a good point.
So I would be one to say we approve that.
I thought you said you wouldn't charge.
You'll make the motion?
I'll make the motion, we approve it.
All right.
I'll second the motion. By Russell.
Okay. We had considerable discussion last...
Yeah.
Yes, we did. And I talked to the mayor a little bit about it on the phone, and he pulled me in. Yeah.
Yeah, Sister Jolly called me on it, and I talked to her about it, so...
Yeah.
Sounds like a good plan.
All right, all those in, let's see, I...
Yeah, I don't think you need to vote on it, just all of you.
Yeah. All those in favor of letting them do a street party, closing the road on, from Fourth North to Fifth North on 100 East? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Do you want to help with the date without scaring off somewhere?
I can say what...
August 19th, wasn't it?
I believe so, yes.
I think they have a number.
Six for 10, is that right?
The party, I think, was from six, and they were gonna close it at five for hours.
16.
The 16th?
Yeah.
It's a Monday.
Yeah, Monday.
Oh, we're close. All right, public participation, we have Jason Clausen.
So do I respond now, or wait till the agenda item for the planning commission? I didn't know where that fit.
You can come up, present your concern, and then...
Well, it goes with the planning commission, so...
Recommendation?
I don't know if you wanna...
We can hold off and just let you do it as part of that, then.
Okay.
We'll just do that.
So that's it there, huh?
Yep. All right, next item is, gals in the office would like to select a new city logo.
What's wrong with the old one? It's not worn out yet, is it?
It is, but we need a new one.
I think it's good to rebrand every once in a while.
How come they didn't give us the existing one on here so we could compare?
Because it's not an option.
In fact, we thought about only putting the one we want on there.
Which one did you guys want?
First, I got to see if it's the same as what you...
I'd take the bottom.
Oh, we're doing, that's what I'm doing for, is the bottom one.
Good job.
I mean, you're gonna have a uniform now, people work.
And you win. Natalie is who has looked into this and kind of done the designing and worked with I4 Media on it, so...
Yeah.
I like the rising sun behind the...
Yeah, I like it because it's round instead of a diamond.
Yeah.
Looks good. We have to vote on it.
Probably got to, have a motion and vote on it. Or at least, yeah.
Should we go to mark them 1, 2, 3?
Top one being number 1?
Yeah.
Just so everybody's on the same page.
The best one is number 1?
Always.
No, and that's the order.
So we're voting for number 3.
You count up. I'll make a motion that we accept logo number 3 as the new logo from the Mount Pleasant City.
I have that one as number 3. Is that right?
How come you gotta stir the pot here?
I'm with you, Bull.
I'll second it.
All right, that was motion by Russell and seconded by Sam to accept the new logo as number 3. I guess we ought to let everybody see it.
Yeah, pass it around. Do we have a copy? I think the majority will probably agree.
Yeah, that's definitely the one that has the most pop today.
Yeah. Looks like it's giving us, put my candy on it.
I'm glad everybody else agreed with me, because I didn't want to be the only one.
All right, we better finish that motion, so... Motion by Russell, seconded by Sam to accept city logo number 3. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Is that going to be a certain color or just black?
No, it seems like Natalie did say there was color, but she couldn't get it to turn in color. So I think there is.
It'd be nice if there was a little color in it.
I think there is.
Yeah, it'll have to be some yellow and green.
Okay.
Of course, it'll have to be brown.
Some blues.
All right. Next item. Recommendations from our Planning and Zoning Commission. Just as kind of information, the Planning and Zoning Commission approved a request from John McKay to build an RV park. Planning and Zoning thought they ought to let the city council know that.
Where's this at?
Where is it? It's north of John McKay's lot.
Well, and it would be, I mean, Jason is here if you have questions. He's on Planning and Zoning.
He's on Planning and Zoning.
No.
And?
You're welcome, Jason.
How big?
What was the revised? I never did see the revised plan of how many RVs it would be.
So, and I was reading it off my phone, and I can't remember off the top of my head. It's small. The questions we had was the size of the spaces and just it was just minutia details on the plan. The concept was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the overall, that dealt with some easement issues. With the city infrastructure.
Because I know he had to cut the lots or the amount of trailers because he didn't have enough room on the first original plan 2 months ago.
Right.
What about fire protection?
We talked about fire and water flow.
I guess that's Sam's department, but I just...
There's a fire hydrant there.
And what about access through the court? Like Randy's got wider spaces to be able to get the trucks around in there?
There's an in and an out.
So you can pull right through?
So you go right through.
So we just have trailers on each side and just a straight pull through?
Yeah.
So when you say small, how many is that?
I want to say it's, well, it's on my phone. Give me a second and I'll tell you.
So you say RV, so camp, trailer, something like that?
Yeah.
And water cars here.
So isn't that a water issue as well?
It will take water.
We're going to lead right into that.
So that's not going to be like a permanent situation.
Seasonal?
Yep. 30 days, I think.
The big concern is we avoid having what we already have.
Right.
So.
So there's a limit on how long they can stay?
There is not a limit. The operators just plan on operating seasonal.
I have to look at our thing, at our business license stuff, but I think there is a limit. But they can only stay a certain amount of time and have to.
Then they have to go around the block and then come back?
Right. You know, but the real issue is just enforcement of our existing ordinances and whatnot.
Exactly.
So. It's going to take me a minute to find that. I've got more than one email on hand.
How soon will the department build?
Right away.
He's already checked his building permit.
Yep.
Any out landscaping or outdoor water use?
So he'll have one little place in the middle for a playground. They're basically gravel. But the biggest discussion point that I had was we just approved another water connection. And I, as a planning commission, we want to address this fuzzy, what do I want to call it?
Problem you're faced with every month.
Let me ask you, as a council, how many water connections right now can we approve?
Well, that's going to be a bigger one for that one. You'll have to feed them 2 inches or something like that.
Yeah.
There's not too many of that. But.
Here's the question I asked everybody. This was last Tuesday at noon. I said, if the Red Church got on fire, I have a better example now because of culture, but what happens if a Wasatch dorm caught on fire last Tuesday at 12 o'clock? The question was, if we have enough fire protection, would we have enough water to put out fire and keep the city in water?
Last time Wasatch caught on fire, we drained a million tanks. Took a million gallons.
There's sprinkled buildings. I mean, we're going to go through water like fast. And so...
Sprinkled, but...
It's like Justin said, we don't have a water problem in January. We have a water problem in July and August. So I'm worried from my experience about, I am worried about the five-point analysis. And I have some questions on that, and it's just minutia really, but my big question is just physical water. I mean, the five-point analysis does a population projection that started in 2018, and it was 15 connections a year for residential. Since 2018, we've connected more than 30 a year.
Me and you together have connected more than that.
Right? And now we're talking about Glen Hills set up to 70 units. We had another subdivision come in up to 55. And those are within the city right now. And so my guts are like, my guts tell me there's not enough water. When you think about providing the state minimums and fire protection and all this together, I just...
See, that's why they've been told that's on hold.
Yeah, yeah. That's why they've been told. But the real problem is it's not fair to Glen Hill, you know, to start the process. His plan fits the zoning. In fact, I think it's a great plan. I think we need that type of product. I think we need a product out there where people can walk to the grocery store. You know, I think that's really important.
Yeah.
But we had to tell him no. The subdivision's another cat. Right?
Yeah.
But
they're all within the city. Was the one was good with it.
Yeah, but they're all within the city limits.
Yeah, so how do we...
And that's the conflict. How do you tell this guy no and someone else yes?
But here's the real problem. Every time we do a lot split, we do a de facto connection, right? So that meeting with John, we approved three other lot splits. So those are just water. All they we you know they record, they go down, they pay their fee, and they're getting power and water. Am I wrong?
Times two,
and it's I don't know I. It's a fuzzy problem. It's hard to define. The water right thing. I spent way too many hours doing your job and trying to figure these water rights out. What a mess. I mean, they're hard to understand. And then there's a part on this five-point analysis where it talks about sources, and it's like we all think those springs are an important number, but it's like old Brother Wheeler was saying. They fluctuate a lot. And so it's hard. So basically our source are wells. We're dependent on well water. And last summer we had a well disaster. Right? And so I'm just like, I don't know. I it's like David Ames said on the council. He said if by approving this project I jeopardize my ability to use my water in my house, then I'm gonna say no. And that's kind of where I'm at. I don't know if we call it a moratorium or if we... I said in the conversation earlier today, whether we call it a moratorium or not, as a planning member of the Planning Commission, I'm going to vote no. My vote, my single vote, is going to be no for future development until we get this figured out. And I think the other council members or the Planning Commissioners are the same way.
Hey, Jason, I think the big question is, in my mind, is okay, we've got so many connections now, we know what that number is. As we approve connections, we have a fairly good idea of how much water we're using or we have used in 2020 and on the peak day. I looked on the Division of Water Rights website and got a reporting. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but the peak was about 4.55 acre feet
a day
in that peak day.
Yeah, it just doesn't tell us what our source capacity is now.
But in those calculations, I figured that's 955 gallons per minute at 4.55, and our capacity right now is 1,270 gallons per minute with all the sources.
See, but those sources I think are wrong, like we talked. I think we need to take off the springs off the number, and then the 70 gallons from the...
All that goes into your play from all your meters. Everything that's metered has to be put into a state report, which goes to the state directly from Colton.
Those springs aren't included. 300 gallon a minute that's on this project is not included in that number. but the cemetery well is, and I know we're not using that, and that would equate for about 126 homes at 800 gallons per day, so...
But Justin, those springs are incorporated, it's 200 gallons a minute.
Well, the 300 gallon we're turning out are not.
I know that, but I'm saying, there's a line item, Barton, Sneak...
Right, you're right.
Yeah, 200 gallons a minute.
So those aren't included in the 1270, but the 300...
That's going by.
That's going by or not.
Yeah, so my question is, does that include fire flow?
I don't know.
So basically, all those numbers is everything that's coming into the system and going out of the system.
Right.
So that doesn't include fire flow due to the fact that fire flow has no meters on anything on fire.
Well, it's a capacity thing, like Justin said.
So your capacity is just what your tanks are. I mean, your tank levels, that's your capacity.
What is the capacity for storage, Devin, the guideline there for...
For fire flow?
Yeah.
Typically, we, in calculating this required storage capacity, we have to be able to have some equalization storage, so forces go down, you've got 1 day, 2 days of storage in there that you can continue business as usual, plus a fire flow that is typically 1,500 gallons a minute for 2 hours. So that storage plus the equalization storage that covers whatever the daily demand is what goes into that storage capacity requirement, which I believe the city was adequate for the moment in storage capacity.
That's what I remember with the last master plan.
You could probably get the things one Pleasant Grove just had a catastrophic event. It's just in the news. They probably answer your question. Worst case scenario versus how much water they have laid up. They had stopped using water for 24 hours to recover the tanks. So probably would have got turned out of the job. Answer the question, please.
Well, I don't. To me, it's low.
Well, it is because a lot of your 1,500 gallon minute pumps are not 1,500 gallon minute pumps. Now, most of the fire trucks have bumped up to over 2,000 gallon minute pumps. So,
right.
So there's about 500 gallons a minute difference.
Well, playing devil's advocate, we watered two busy Wednesday. Fire broke out at 10 o'clock a.m. after we low watered. I tankered all at half. We're done.
Yeah, it depends on the fire. No, you depends
on the fire. I'm using the worst case fire, right?
What is the tanks hold? Do we know what the tanks hold?
I don't know what total capacity is.
What's the total
2,250,000 gallons. Total capacity.
I guess that's why I was wondering how many hookups he's going to have out there. You know?
It'll be a 2-inch meter.
Huh?
It'll be a 2-inch meter. To John McKay's trailer park.
How many?
Huh?
How many sites?
Say there's 15. It's a minutia number because they're trailers.
And you're only going to, if you're on a 2-inch line, you're only close to one.
I'm more worried about the 3 lot splits that I and John McKay's RV park.
So as I was thinking about this today, I'm thinking, okay, do we have enough hard data to say, yeah, this is the right thing to do, put a moratorium on. I don't know that I'm convinced that we do.
That's where I'm at. We need numbers, driven.
And I think there, as I said a couple of meetings ago when we had our work session, I think there's some things that you could do to minimize risk by spreading watering schedules out for the bigger users, and even spreading, if you had to get to the point where you spread those that are using culinary outdoor use, they maybe have to be spread out through a 6-day period and get 2 days a week or something, and be more, and limit green space on our new development, and more take more of a conservation minded approach, so we can have a little bit of control. That's probably a good practice anyway.
I think it'd be good to do some kind of a, you know, whether you give them a little bit off of their bill if they do a zero.
Yeah.
You know, do some kind of incentives. I mean, really, for new development, if they're going more of a versus a straight up lawn on everything, you know, kind of doing
a lot less than demand. But I guess that's where I'm at. I just don't know that I'm convinced that we need to
put a moratorium?
Yeah. Because there are unintended consequences from...
I would think that we don't have to issue any more building permits right now until we get a law.
How about put a moratorium on landscaping? Say, okay, if we give you a building permit, then you can't landscape or use any outdoor use on the new buildings until we get things squared away. I don't know. At least give them an option and come to some kind of compromises. But I think there's going to have to be someone that takes a hard look at where we're actually at, what water we're using, because I don't know the answer to that right now.
And that's my point. I don't either. I have more questions than answers right now. And for me as a planning commission person, I want my decision to be based on the numbers. Because Glen Hill's a friend of mine. I count him as a friend. And I you know, it creates conflict when I'm telling Glen, hey, you gotta wait, you know?
And I think as a member of the planning commission, you want to make sure that you're comfortable with the decision you're making and not have these, you know, be torn between those kinds of things. If you can say, okay, our pumps are going 24/7 and we cannot keep up with the demand. If that's the case, then that's cut and dry, but I don't know where we're at.
It's not. I get it. We just let the numbers drive it.
Yeah.
I don't think we have enough numbers right now to know. I really don't.
My concerns are, if you keep issuing building permits, how do we tell contractors no? How do we tell Glen Peel no? If we keep issuing building permits here in town.
Glen Peel had a massive project.
Well, absolutely.
And that's different. I think what Justin's trying to say is we have enough water for the onesie twosies, but not like a 70 home development and those type of things. I mean, there's a difference. We've got a lot of homes that are already started or in the planning. They're just single family dwellings within our boundaries. And just like the Johansson project, there was another 12 homes. We just told them we can't approve that right now. And we told Glen we can't approve that right now.
The difference is...
We hate to close the door on the people that are, they've got single homes going and they're in the process and they're in town.
You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I just say issue more. Though it's got going, we got to take care of them. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, do we want to continue to issue building permits?
I'd be real reluctant on this one right now, because it's obviously more than a single family. It's a 2-inch main going in. It's obviously going to use more water than what it...
Maybe oversimplification, but isn't your number, if you're putting water restrictions on people, you're done? There's no approval while you've got water restrictions? Isn't that your number?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, because we're on water restrictions every year.
Did everybody, because I put this in there because the town of Oakley and Utah just recently put a moratorium on a new building, and they are in the process of drilling a well in November. That was just basically for your information that other cities aren't doing it right now because of the drought, and it's only for 6 months until you can get some of this that you're talking about right now hashed out.
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, like Kevin, I don't want to take those that have building permits right now.
In my opinion, it's just a matter of opinion right now, whether we're out of water or not. I'd like to see some metered usage and what we're using.
That's where.
It's the first time I've heard that. It's a matter of opinion if we're out of water. Okay. Isn't that a fact?
I don't know.
I'm not trying to.
We're critical.
I'm not trying
to
be an enemy, but.
I know. Well, I guess my answer to that is I don't know for sure.
Mark, I spend a lot of time studying these things that they've been given, and it's hard to understand. I'm telling you, it's hard to understand.
And I believe it's
hard.
But what does being out of water mean, I guess, what does that mean?
is because we've got so much that we're supposed to meet, the state requires us to meet, so we're not meeting that, so we're out of water, or are we actually out of physical water?
It's nothing new. I mean, I remember 15 years ago living in Mackinac, watching West Jordan. It was in the news, they put water restrictions on everyone being able to water, but they were approving massive developments.
We've been out of the state trade. I mean, we've never met state before since longer than 2013, so we're back when it's spring up here.
How does the impact fee, how much that money is reserved for future water rights? I couldn't find that.
Nothing for future water rights, just for the develop or the well and the treatment plants and stuff like that.
Your impact fees are.
Let me ask
you. They're getting stickler on everything on that too.
I don't think you can buy water with impact fees.
According to the new for the study, we've got 2,028 acre feet of water right. So everybody that comes in and get a connection basically takes away from that. You see what I'm saying? There's no new water. This is all appropriated, right? So why are we essentially reducing our water right until it's gone, and then we stop and say, "Oh, we need more water."
No, but you gain. We haven't used all the water rights yet either. From what I would know. I mean, otherwise you ain't drilling.
Well, he shows a surplus here, but what I'm saying, Sam, is in the future at some point.
At some point you do. There is steps you have to take to get additional.
You just buy water rights. You just buy water rights. That's how you do it.
But I think as you move forward and you consume those water rights in your sources and they get used, at some point, you're right. You're gonna. The state allows you to protect your water rights for 40 years, and you know once. And you got to show that you're gonna use those based on projection and growth within 40 years, or they'll want to come and take them and put them somewhere else.
Right.
So the state allows municipalities to do a 40-year plan that protects those rights, showing that you're gonna need them based on growth for that length of during that period. After you're built out and you. You know, I don't know what build out is, how many lots are left in the town. I would assume that there's probably enough water right now to build the whole town of Mount Pleasant proper out and still meet and still be in the compliance with your water right use. The biggest thing is finding the source.
Well, that's the problem I see, Justin. The source never matches the water right because of the over-allocation of water. We just don't have enough physical water to match the right.
Right.
And that's what I'm worried about.
Well, that's across the state of Utah. That's
our problem, right?
That's our problem here, that's for sure.
If you build multifamily dwellings, then you're eating up more water rights, but not necessarily they have more. I mean, you have one big building versus all these other buildings, and you're eating up a lot of water rights for a lot of water in that one building.
Those are just concerns I have, big picture. So, but I'm with Justin. We need to come up with some kind of,
How do we come up with this data? I would think that we need some kind of. I would like to see some kind of maybe a strategic plan or. Something to going forward as to how we maybe some ideas on conservation and things like that. I don't know if Devin, if you can share anything with us.
Sure.
On that, but
the city actually just did a draft conservation plan last week that kind of talks about the things the city's done up to this point and plans for going forward. Things we talked about, you mentioned here, putting restrictions on. For limitations on green space for new development, some of those things are in there. As far as putting numbers on what water we have and what water we need, we do have that 500 ounces of PDR that's based on state rules that are currently still in effect for Mount Pleasant as they're stated in there, but will change. They will change and be based on metered readings from the city's sources. I had Coulter send those over to me earlier today and kind of looked through those. And that's why I mentioned that it's likely that that number per connection will go down for the assumptions that are in the PER, the five-point analysis in there. We assumed about 1,600 gallons a minute per ERC. At first blush, with the numbers as they are, we wouldn't be much under that, maybe closer to 1,500. But with looking closer at the data, doing a separate analysis, I think it could be closer to 1,200 or 1,000.
So gains on there?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah.
On paper.
Yeah.
As far as what's due, look, going forward, we've talked to, we do have a water rights specialist in our office that has gone through Mount Pleasant stuff quite a bit, and his recommendations for Mount Pleasant and a lot of other municipalities is the same, is that when developments come in, particularly the bigger ones, that they're required to bring water right
with them,
so that you have a buffer with that. And really the same could be done with source. It's a lot harder to say to, you know, a 20 house subdivision or a small apartment complex like our house, or where well you're drilling and handing over for it. The same kind of
water rights, did they?
With that as well.
And that's outside the
internet. Water rights, it's not as
right. Much. Right.
Yeah, that's a straight irrigation, of course.
Development agreement.
Right. And it can be done as a package if the city wants to look at, okay,
water rights out there.
We need this much more source, you know, based on these numbers on the analysis from the last 3 years of data, the state's going to be looking at for this. We have this capacity, we need this capacity, so that'll either be an amended impact fee, or if you have a huge development, you know, they really could be required to provide a source and then credited for that.
Any development, Mount Pleasant's a large development.
Yeah, that's true. So from the numbers that I...
So just a question.
Yeah.
Is that if they're in the city limits or if they're outside the city limits wanting to be annexed, you can require them to bring the water
home? Either way, I don't think it matters for that. I think the annexation would be a separate topic, I guess.
But you would still require it.
As long as it's within your defined service area, I think you can treat it the same way. Or if we could justify separate impacts for connections outside city limits. That too.
You can also impose a water right fee, right? If somebody's coming in, they don't bring water right, you, in lieu of a water right, they can bring a fee of what it might cost the city to purchase a water right. Now, that might, if there's limited water rights available, that might not be the best idea, but obviously a water
right.
A right would be better, I think.
And that becomes a buffer to development because they're hard to get right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as it stands right now, based on the 20-year projections, and maybe they're a little bit low, like the gentleman said in the back of the percentage, but what that does doesn't necessarily mean that something's wrong. It just means that you would meet that 20-year period sooner if development's happening twice as fast as you did your 20-year planning period for, then you'd have to be looking at source and other things sooner.
Right.
15 years instead of
that. Yeah. It doesn't really change anything other than that.
Basically, we need to get some more information, some more data.
I would like to have a better feel of where we're actually at. Like I said, I used the reports from the 2020 reporting, and our peak was about 4.5 acre feet per day. I'm not sure what month that was in, probably July or August.
Justin, I got that right here in gallons per day, but it was in July 2020 at 1.4, almost 1.5 million gallons. So it's not acre feet.
Yeah.
That you got.
What is that in gallons per minute then? If you wanted to look at how it
produces gallons
from the source, based on your output of your what sources?
That's just over 1,000 gallons per minute.
Yeah, I had 955 on my calculation, so.
So you were close.
You were probably closer.
Yeah. The data, as it stands right now, the data for 2019 and 2018 show higher peak days, but that could be issues with the data that we could go through and look at.
Well, and the restrictions, I think, starting last year, I know we changed some of the way we restricted with the culinary of setting different off days and different bigger users having water different days, and I'm sure that's changed our numbers a bit.
Yeah, it probably would.
Because we just started doing that last year. Correct me, was that last year we started that?
Yeah. I mean, what do you think the chances are of doing some kind of conditional building permit that you can't do don't plan on any outdoor water use for a period of time?
I guess my question is what would it take to capture the data we need to make a legitimate decision? I might pose that question to Devin.
Sure, I think he just answered the question Jason had about physical water versus water use.
Yes.
That water used on the peak day is about 142 acre feet-ish.
Yeah, I've got
volume of water per minute. So was that the maximum amount of water that we were capturing?
That was gallons, it wasn't acre, wasn't it?
That's right.
I converted it to acre feet. It's about 7 gallons per minute, using an acre foot of water. So to take that total and divide it up, if that was everything that you were capturing for that day, and yet you've got how many acre feet of water is the city on? Total?
2,028.
Well, source that we've got.
Oh, right, source, now. Yeah, it's in gallons per minute, so you've got
to, yeah.
So we have to reverse it. Yeah. That was your usage, so I don't know how many acre feet you own, but that's what you pulled on your peak day.
Based on a 2020 peak day, the current source capacity is adequate.
Cool.
On the 2019 and 2018, it was not quite adequate.
Well, we could get, I mean, we can pull current meter data.
Like
the other thing is very smart as well. Shane, you can pull that off of your power meters for when the wells are kicking on, how long they're running, can't you? Off of those two wells?
Yeah.
I mean, that gives us an idea of how much actually we're pumping and where we're sitting.
So to drive your data gathering, how many acre feet of water you have if that well could pump every acre foot share that the city owns that isn't already allocated somewhere else, how much you're trying to allocate to that well? What's the best case scenario? And how much can you pump? Under the best case scenario, will that well reach or exceed the number of water that the city owns in acre feet?
I don't think it'd be close to what the city owns in acre feet.
As it is now.
Yeah, that the physical capacity would be far under the water right.
Capacity
that the
city has.
You look at a 12-inch well, 800 gallon well on the city well, and 250 on the other, and then an additional
200 under spring, right?
Yeah. So
plus 70 at the cemetery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you need to consider two things that don't factor into your data, and one of them is we're in an extreme drought. The USGS has projected that's going to continue. The whole, that has even broadened it through the state of Utah. So drought conditions, how are you going to factor that into your data? Because that's affecting what water you can get. Source. because we have the drought, and secondly, if we come through another pandemic, which is again out there being projected, that means more people staying home and using more water, which was a factor that contributed, that was shown in this last year. So I'm over unknown, but they shan't ignore them, and what your decision is, and what can affect water usage going forward, and I'm switching them to give them the drought.
And it sounded to me like usage was less in 2020.
Based on the numbers we have, which...
But...
One more data point I just thought of that might be helpful is understanding the impact of the aquifer. I think you can measure the well.
You measure the depth of the well, because that's another thing is your drawdown on the well. I mean,
yeah, we can see a trend of our well drawdown.
And
that's a big one too.
Recovery on
some more data there to get.
In other places I know, like Bering City, they use, so when they're not using their water in the winter, they recharge their aquifers.
Yeah, they put in the ground.
So I mean, those are options that we can look into in the future too. I think are good options that all that water that would just normally go down actually goes back into the aquifer to recharge it. So, I mean, there's other ways of doing things out there. But
I think all of us have heard the well stories west of town. They're bad. But I don't hear much about it above town. So I'd be curious to know what those numbers are.
Well, and if you've got, I would just read in the paper today, the Messenger, that the Division of Water Rights, I mean, there's three wells that are people who want to drill wells just right here in the, I think there's one east and two west. So you've got all these people in the unincorporated areas that are going to drill into the aquifer.
Yeah.
So you've got to take that in. I think two of them was asking for 1.44 acre feet, and the other one was one.
And the sad part is there's no way to stop that.
No.
You know?
Yep.
Keep that all you want, I won't stop.
No.
And do you think they're doing studies on how it affects their neighbors?
No. Nope.
Well, that's my condition. I'm going to mention.
Let's just table it till we get some more data.
Well,
I think we need to do.
We have declined the others just on the fact that what we've talked about, we're in a drought. And till things improve, whether it's... And we're anticipating developing water. And I would just ask these people to put things on hold while we get through this drought period. That's my opinion of it. I think that's the Planning Commission recommends the city move forward with a moratorium. And I think the moratorium is the last step. It costs a little bit of money to implement that and whatnot, and if these people, we can ask them to hold off on their projects, which is what we've done. We've done that with every developer that's come in, and I honestly think that within 6 months we should have some good development that's going to be adequate to provide for these things. That's my gut feeling.
Well, I agree with you.
And I don't know what else we can do with what data we've got. And your report last week is we've implemented this one day a week watering, that everything was looking good. Our ponds were good and our wells were not running as bad. And
yeah,
it's just like them minor things that we've done has put us in a little better situation. I think people want to overreact because, you know, it's a drought and everything, but right now things are, we're doing okay. I don't think we're in panic mode right now. I think we'd be wise and have these developers hold off for a little bit. I think we'll get through this.
Kevin, what about lot splits? What would you recommend for that?
When you say lot splits, you're talking if somebody has an acre, they want to split it into four?
That's why Glenn was upset that meeting, because John and those three lot splits were approved when he wasn't. See the problem?
It's almost like you can't, you got to either do all or nothing.
That's kind of what I think.
But if I remember, Glenn was only planning on doing like 10 to start with or something.
It's phasing, yes, but I just go to the approved amount. The market determines how fast you'll build.
That's exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah.
You got to decide what you're going to do here, whether we're going to...
You got to do one or the other.
You got to do one or the other. We either got to stop it all or allow it all. And I don't think we can allow it all.
No.
Not the situation we got right now. That would be...
Well, what you're saying is then we need to implement a moratorium.
Well, I don't... It's like you said, moratorium, you know, that's for 6 months? I don't know.
Well,
does that moratorium take in the existing building permits right now?
No, it's anything that comes in from whenever you set it on. If the building permit's in, you can't stop it right now.
So that was a time not too long ago where we put a stop on building, and it wasn't because of the water. It was because of the code that we were doing the general plan, and there was some codes that we were working through. What we didn't call it a moratorium, though. We called it something different.
That was just on duplexes.
Was it only on duplexes?
Yeah.
But there's a two-edged sword here. I mean, we're talking about a project, and Claudio brought it up. Impact fees are going to be helping pay for this project. So you put a moratorium for 6 months. Maybe you missed the perfect window to get a lot of impact fees that might not come back again.
I would recommend that you do the cost-benefit analysis on your future development. Once you get that test well drilled, and you get some idea what water you're going to get, because if you can pay for a large chunk of this project with new development and not taking it out of your existing population, so it benefits the community, but you've developed a source, there's a sweet spot in there of development versus source, and that's the answer you need before you approve. Because like I said, if you pass on the cash, yeah, you might move down to Ephraim, might move somewhere else, and then you lose the money to pay for your water system.
Well, I think we want to see all these developments come to pass, but right now it's just not a good time to approve their development because they'll start using water right away.
Well, I guess that's my question. If they start using water right away, they're not putting yards in or landscaping, is that really going to dry up the town? If you approve 20...
Not till next summer.
20 or 30 lots between now and 6 months from now, is that going to make it so we can't get water to our tap? I don't believe that's the case.
Well, my question is, are you just going to approve 20 or 30 lots and then tell these others who want to develop they can't do it, like Steve down there, 15 lots? And
this is different.
This is an annexation, though. This is an annexation.
I know, so it's totally different. We're still faced with it.
We don't have to approve annexations. I think we have.
Can we put a hold on without moratorium?
On annexations?
No, on building.
Nope.
You can't do a hold. You either got to go at moratorium or...
Well, you got to let it go.
Can we do it for a month?
Hmm?
How can we get our numbers?
Well, that's what I was wondering. Took the word right out of my mouth. We feel comfortable with our source numbers and our use numbers. Maybe we put a hold or a moratorium for a month while we get some better data to look at. Or are we comfortable with the data we have?
Or why can't you just suggest to the developer, rather than to put a moratorium, why don't you give us 30 days to kind of get a feel for where we're at? By that time, you're going to be at the end of your irrigation season anyway, and you're obviously your system, your demand on your system.
In Glenn's case, he wants to proceed with preliminary plat work. He wants his concept plan approved.
Who's that?
Glenn Hill. And he wants to proceed with preliminary plat. So spending the bulk of his money, you know, on engineering right there was what he's looking at. So.
And he's probably, best case scenario, 6 months out before anything would tie into the water anyway.
So my question is that if we talk to these people instead of them approving them, and we know they're 6 months out or whatever, I mean, why are we going to approve them, I guess? If there's no reason that if we have no moratorium and we have nothing, why are we going to approve them?
Well, this goes back to my original thing. I want it to be number driven.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. I get that.
But I'm just saying, as long as we're talking to these people versus just saying, hey, we're not going to...
We can't approve 10 when he's asking for 70, really.
Right.
That's the problem. He's got a phased project, but it's a 70-unit project.
But that could be, like you say, market-driven, and the timeline is probably subject to that. So he may build 10, and it might be 7 years before he builds the next phase.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So...
But I think from our point of view, we're balancing the needs of the city, not whether Glenn makes a successful project or not.
Where he has property in the city, in my opinion, he has as much right to build a house as I did, as the house I live in.
I agree.
Because a lot split, one or two lots.
Whatever the case is. If he has property in the city, I think we need to be dang sure that we have a good leg to stand on if we're not allowing people to build within the city. And if it's the numbers that say, yeah, we can't prove anymore, that's one thing. But I want to feel comfortable about that before I say, okay, we're just going to stop all building and put a halt to that. I don't feel comfortable doing that right now.
Yeah.
And maybe the rest of the council does, but if we were to vote right now, I would vote against a moratorium.
Well, I've already expressed my views as a planning commission person. My personal vote would be no to any based on the fuzzy number thing.
So what would it make to, what would you have to make you feel confident to approve a lot split?
I'd like to see Justin put some formalized numbers instead of these throw around things that we've been talking about.
Okay. I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I would too.
I want fact-driven things. How often are the wells being used, you know?
There's no reason we can't get that data.
Wednesday at 10, do we really have enough water to fight a fire? I mean, those are important to me. I've watched two fires across the street from me in Aspen Village, and they're train wrecks, right? They're just absolute train wrecks.
There were a few issues with that one.
Well, there are, but you remember the one years ago, Sam, right there on the corner?
Yeah, I remember.
One in the morning, flames 30 feet high, yeah. I mean...
I remember that one. Like I said, the last one though, was an issue with the hydrant.
Yeah, the hydrant didn't work.
What do you want to do? Do you want to table it? You want to table a decision for 30 days until we get more information? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know if it's 30 days. I think we need to expedite whatever we're doing.
Well, you know by the next council meeting. I mean,
why don't you draw your line in the sand for making the decision if you want to get your test hole punched and have some data from your well?
It's a reasonable decision.
We're going to need 3 more months.
But that's my point, is if we approve 40 lots, they're not even going to be probably needing water till fall at this point. And the chances of us approving 40 lots between now and then, I don't know.
So the subdivision has other problems besides water, like that 16-foot strip of property between the old subdivision and the new. So he's out there a ways. But Glenn's the one we're really talking about.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is if we approve Glenn for his concept, for his master plan,
he's
a long ways out. And if it turns out that our source project doesn't turn out, we can always say, hey, look, it's out of our hands, it's out of our control. We can't allow you to build 70 units.
Would you want him to spend all the money getting that done and then not have infrastructure to take care of it?
Didn't that cost Tooele County millions of dollars when they approved the development and then reneged on it?
A concept plan?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the facts behind that, so I can't answer that.
Basically,
that's my concern.
Proceeding your own risk is what we're saying, right?
Yeah, I mean, kill them out there and tell them go ahead and build, and then we don't have the water.
But if he's only going to build 10 units,
10 with the other 40 in town, 60.
Be quite well out.
Yeah.
I guess I don't want to overreact to something and
well, I don't either.
The other thing is
I don't want to underreact.
There's still some level of fear or something that we're out of water in the community. Maybe we are, but I can't say that for sure.
How often do we hit the critical level, Coker?
Since we went down to one day a week, I haven't had a low alarm since we went to one day a week. So since July 1st, we've been maintaining.
So how often are our pumps pumping, I guess?
Daily.
I know that, but 24/7 or?
No. I have to look and see what time they're shutting off, how many hours they're running. I need that data.
So I make the suggestion we table this till next city council meeting and we get some more data to go along with it.
I agree.
That's 2 weeks.
Kevin providing data for us?
The planning commission will be after that, next week after?
Yes. Okay, yeah, because we'll be the second Tuesday in August, you'll be the third.
Yeah.
Okay, let's table it, we'll get some more data to come back to our next city council.
What data, what all?
Can we get a?
What do you want from anything? As far as numbers?
I'm wondering if we can ask maybe Devin to help us flesh some of those numbers out in a practical way, reason.
Yeah, I think a good way to go about it maybe to proceed with the new state minimum process. The way that works is they'll either take the data that you give them and tell you what your new state minimum is, or you can do a report to basically say, here's the data. And I think if they took what you sent me today, we'd have a much higher minimum requirement just because of the holes in the data and how it turns out. But if we were able to look at that and say, okay, yeah, this says that we use this much on this day, but really, we've got one reading that covered the last 4 days. Or you know, somebody misread the 2 for 7 on this one, and that kind of stuff that would make it a lot more real. So if we could get that process started and get a new official city system minimum set, sort of minimum, I think we can have at least proposed in 30 days, no problem. Power records would be super helpful with that. And with power records and what we have, I think we can get there.
And how long your well's drawn?
Yeah, everything.
So what you're saying is we if we gather this data and show the state this is our actual usage, then they'll give us a different criteria to meet for planning purposes.
That's right.
And it's
so change it from the number that we have in the pipeline analysis from PER 2016 to what our meters are actually saying from the sources.
But do we have to have that buy-off by the state before we can make a decision one way or the other to halt development? I mean, what's our risk with the state if we're still under that threshold and we continue to approve building lots? Or is that because those are real numbers? Do we not really? And I don't want to say this tongue in cheek, not necessarily care what the regulatory agency is saying because we feel confident that we have enough source to approve 20 more lots or 30 more lots between now and when the project's completed. I guess that's what I think Jason would like to have is that how many lots can I approve and still, or split and still be feel safe?
Yeah. Well, according to this peak analysis right now on the source part, we are deficient.
That's right.
We are
according to that.
Yeah, right now today, without that well,
right.
We're deficient. So,
yeah. So I don't know that there's anything from the state that would have to be incorporated in this. I think it would be a great leg for the city to stand on if they could say, yes, these are the state minimums for our system specifically based on the last 3 years of data that we have. But I don't think it would be crucial.
Okay, so let's get that information and we'll table that item till next council.
What's your time frame?
As I said, I think within 30 days we can have something proposed.
So you can't have anything by the next council meeting then, huh?
Probably not submitted.
But what about for us, just
for internal? Some numbers to look at.
Yeah. We definitely have numbers to look at for internal.
What we're using and what we have.
Yeah.
That's basically what we need. I think, and then that other part could help us in determining whether we need to go forward with the moratorium.
Efficient right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. I think you could give you a lot more given the current texture of what you got and what you risked.
We've been efficient with state first.
So we'll table this one for 30 days.
Well, hopefully for next week or next city council in 2 weeks, we'll have some information back to be able to have a better idea. So,
okay. Does that cover both those points on that?
It does. Public Works.
It's been a pretty busy week this week. We had a couple sinkholes form on 9 South. There's a water leak under 900 South. There's one galvanized line. We have no clue where it's coming from. We was able to cap it live today because everything we shut off, we can't find where it's connected.
Wow.
We capped it live today. And on the way to the meeting, Johnny Maurer comes flying out of his house. Hey, I've got no water. So we found out where it went.
But you don't know where it's feeding?
It's got to be feeding off of Fit Wet. It's coming up 900 South. We're going to go down in the morning, do a new water connection for John Maurer.
Off the main that's there in the street?
Yep. And then we're going to go down and try to find.
Do you think it's all galvanized?
It's galvanized.
Can you trace that?
You can trace that. Like your trace right this morning with the power guys, and we keep losing signal after about 50 feet.
Yeah, there's a repair.
Rust unit or something.
Or a repair.
Well, pipe. Last night when I put a band-aid on it, that pipe was that big around. And I had to sit and break all the rust and everything.
Oh, yeah.
To be able to get a band-aid down on it. And so I think that's causing us to lose, just to bleed our signal out in the ground and lose the signal. We're going to spot it just to the west of Dent Jackson first, and then try to connect there with the locator and find where the corpse at in Fifth West, because we're going to have to cut Fifth West.
How many valves would you have to shut to isolate Fifth West to see if that kills it?
Seven.
Really?
Yeah, so I have to shut off on the bottom of 8. So 9th, 8th, 7th, 6th, 5th.
Your 10.10 tie-ins, if they loop that a lot.
So a substantial area would have
to be
shut down.
It'll be a huge area to shut it down. So we're going to try to spot it tomorrow and see if we can get it located on it, down closer, find out where it's tied into the main, and hopefully be able to go in and shut that corpse stop off.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah. Met forth be with us tomorrow. Still working on potholes. Street signs kind of got put on the back burner. We got sent the wrong bundle of the bases. Rectified that with the company we buy our bases for our post from. They're fixing that. They were here today. They dropped off our dog signs. We're going to get them hung tomorrow around the soccer field. I can cover your water still. Since we went to one day, water's hanging good. We're looking good. I haven't had any low alerts come in since July 1st. So we're looking good there.
Was you able to get pump level changed, or is it still 7?
Yeah, I bumped it to 8. So, but watching on our peak days, we're still not reaching 8. So we're okay. So it comes on faster, but we're still not reaching that 7.5 where it deems me. So it's coming on sooner. So we're looking good. Can't say good, we're looking okay. That's pretty much all I've got right now.
Oh, great. Tomorrow, he's got a sounder that you can find that light pipe, and it'll sound it back to where it comes from. If you can sound it all the way, it'll send a sound wave up that water. You can pick it up.
So it's crazy. So we're talking with John just right before I come in. John's house was the first one built in that subdivision. Mm-hmm. And so somehow they missed that tie over when they put that main up there.
But you're great. You got to be able to trip onto your light water feed, and it'll send a sound wave up the pipe.
Okay.
And you can come to it.
So yeah, it was.
Then we don't pinpoint where it's at.
At least you know where it goes to now.
It did. I kind of chucked it when it came out, so I'm like, oh, half the Scooby-Doo mystery of yesterday solved. So, keep pushing forward.
Thank you guys for everything.
Thank you, Colter.
Colter.
Fire department.
Well, we had the two new guys start Monday. Branson Bagley and Kay Crouch. And they're looking for places to rent. And so if you guys know of any place, let us know. It's pretty sparse right now. So that's been a good thing. We did have an episode last week. I was on vacation and come back and none of the meters are reading. But I think we're on pace now. So I think Natalie could be able to pull reads for most of the meters to get the billing out. So not too bad. I just told the guys we got to keep an eye on that every day. We got to go through it. That's part of our checks. Along with that, we're working on upgrading the substation down here still. And we got half the load switched over onto the Contoy, everything. It's working well out there. We did have some issue with what's called the regulators controls. But they're going to be sending us new regulator controls to replace those ones out there. There's some going haywire in the software out there. But they're able to tap and adjust as load comes on and load goes off. It's not working right, but they're just not keeping an accurate reading and stuff. So Cooper's going to be sending us new controls for that. We got Paul working at the canyon, fixing a couple of penstock leaks on the penstock line. And so we've been having to turn water out of the penstock each morning. That's why he works on that. I was hoping he could have finished it up today, but it started pouring on him today and wasn't able to get that. So we'll have to see what we can figure out tomorrow. But other than that, it's been good, just busy. Still got a lot of temporaries out. Got a lot of work we're doing up Skyline right now. Working with Skyline on a new, they're doing a new trailer pad place out there. A big 400 amp service out there. We just did a 400 amp service out to the Contoy, all those beds out there. And so, moving right along. But it's good to have two guys that's certified to climb and certified CPR, and they got the CDL and everything, and so they are able to just, they have a little bit of knowledge from schooling, and it was just nice to have them so they can jump right in. That made a big difference.
Where are they from, Shane?
We got one, Kate Krauts is from up in Idaho, but he has a lot of family down here in Ephraim.
It'd be good to meet him.
Yeah, I know. I want them to come tonight, but they're still kind of...
They're still green.
Yeah.
Come put them on hot seat.
So maybe next council meeting, I'll have them come in and maybe they'll get a little more comfortable with us. And then Branson Bagley, he's actually from Fusharon, but he's living in Axtell right now. But he's hoping, he's thinking he might just pull his trailer up here and, you know, camp.
And they're looking to just rent or buy?
Rent for right now. Kate, Branson's single, but Kate, him and his wife just had a little, they actually just had a little baby that, well, the day before we interviewed him. So we did a Zoom interview with him.
Which was about 3 weeks early, too.
So he felt bad he couldn't make it down, but we did a little bit of work, and I'm glad it did, because he could be a real good hand.
Awesome.
So it's been good. So like with Colter, I want to thank everything you guys do. I don't think you guys get enough credit for all the hard work you put in, so we appreciate you as a fire department.
Back at you, buddy.
Thank you. Hey, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. Fire department.
I went on vacation, I got busy. I only had 8 calls when I left, so
had a structure fire, well, part of it, it didn't, kind of kept it to the laundry room. Wednesday day before it left, but then they had another one.
Oh, it was just racked in the laundry room?
Yeah, so the other one, we just burnt the trailer down there, it was kind of west of sewer falls down there, so. Then just a bunch of Wasatch calls and.
Called of the, we got paged out to the building, they just tore it down.
Well, that's a good one.
Do you have any idea what started the fire down the trailer?
I don't know what the investigators called it, investigators, there was no, did you hear?
I mean, it's, it may come back into turn, but it, I know we had some solar stuff down there that was charging and different things like that, that is a possibility, but it's not an actual set. That's what caused it, so.
I was the first one by and called it in, and there was nobody out there. There was nobody leaving the scene, there was nobody at the scene.
Looks quite the fire.
Yes, it was.
Well, other than that, I guess we've got a couple new guys, they've got certifications, they're just about finishing up. We should have them all wrapped up on Thursday. So.
Okay, council reports, Justin.
So I don't have too much. I will be meeting with Susan Zarecrisi in the morning at the park. She's the grant manager for the Atlanta Water Conservation Fund that we put in for the restrooms and tables and stuff. She's coming here and then she's going to Ephraim and Manti to do inspections, and so she's going to be here about, I think she said she's leaving Salt Lake at 7. We'll be here at 9-ish. So only with her, I think it's just a formality where she has to go visit the sites. But as far as the grant goes, I think we're in a pretty good position to get awarded that. But it will be still a ways down the road before we know. Probably, maybe Claudia knows. Claudia, are you still on are you on the board for, when will we know on those awards?
Well, they have to submit them, I think, to
National.
National, and then we've got to come here. So we usually do one in the spring or the fall.
Okay.
I'm meeting in August, but I don't think they'll be on the agenda there or not.
Maybe I can ask Susan tomorrow when she feels like we might have word that, I mean, she's kind of already gave me a preliminary nod that because there was more funding than there were applications, that if it's eligible, it will get funded most likely, so. Anyway.
So speaking of that, talking to Stephanie, shoot me down if I'm terribly wrong, we'd like to do a public meeting to get public input of where the park should go and do it at the end of August.
Where the park should go?
No, what we should do with the park for like a 10-year plan.
Oh.
So like if we've applied for this big grant to get the restrooms, do we leave them where they are? Do we come up with a master plan for a 10-year plan for our park?
I think that's a great idea.
So we kind of picked a date with Stephanie, and part of that comes back to our rap tax coming in and being able to use some of that to do some of these things. So Stephanie would like to do it on August 25th at 6 p.m.
And that's to receive public input, is that what it is?
Kind of a public input of where they'd like to see the park go, and kind of start to come up with a 10-year plan for a park, if you can call it that way.
It's 6, you said?
Huh?
It's 6?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a good day, and I think that's a good idea.
I think we need to do something, because if, you know, if we get this grant money, I think we need to kind of have our concept of what we'd like to see our park go to and what we'd like to do.
That would make sense.
Do we leave things where they are? Do we move them to a different location? You know, kind of a vision of where we want to see our park go.
I mean, we had to put a concept plan together for that grant, but that's all it is, just a concept.
Right.
We're not locked into that. I struggle with the restroom, put the restroom right next to that old restroom. It just, in my mind, it doesn't seem like it's going to look very well aesthetically. So, I'm glad you're doing that.
How about 100 yards south?
Could be. That's why I'd like to start, it now to see kind of what we want to do with our park, to flow of where we want, where things should go, you know, do we leave the pavilions where they are, do we move them, do we, restrooms, you know, kind of that type of deal, so we start getting public input, what they would like to see the park do.
Okay.
And then we'll go out in the newsletter for August, that date.
Just a kind of a heads up for Shane, part of that grant was to bury the power out there, so.
Yeah.
And you said you had kind of that on the radar anyway?
Yeah, we did that, and then also put some of like what we did out there on Main, these metro skate lights around in the park, so. So yeah, that worked out perfect.
6:00?
Yes.
That's all I have tonight.
Kevin?
Dust has settled from the celebrations. I don't know if we've got anything that's come up that was a problem or anything that was.
I wasn't at the meeting, the mayor was.
We had some concerns, probably the music. We looked at music for one thing, that we needed to maybe look at moving our stage. So kind of some things we talked about after our meeting was, the seating would come in, the sun, shortly after it started. Our music is kind of blaring towards the two, just basically towards one food court there. Maybe we need to look at moving our stage more down by the tennis court, so it's more of a broader. So they made some suggestions that way. A few different things in the games, and maybe that we'd get, like our music would go, just for example, say 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'd be like a 15-minute rest period. We'd do maybe another activity, like a pie eating contest, and more centered right where the stage is, and so everybody knows what's going on better. We had quite a bit of confusement of things out there this year.
Yeah.
So just to try and more basically have more control over it, and have maybe an MC announce what's going on for the next hour, have music playing for the 45 minutes, and we do the activity there right in front of the stage, and then announce again what's going on, and then something more that way.
That sounds good. I think the committee thing is working well. So they want to move the stage, that portable stage, they want to set it up down by the tennis courts more.
I probably think we need to invest in a new one.
That was the talk too. We, somebody was assigned to look at that, because somebody had one for sale, and I can't remember who it was going to look at it. A portable stage that somebody had for sale, and they just don't find out the cost of it.
The stage that they use isn't a fixed stage, is it?
It's not like a wagon.
Like a trailer, right?
It's a trailer, a little wagon and stuff, and it's getting pretty rickety.
Oh.
It is getting pretty rickety. It will probably make the mountain man a little upset, but we only had 3 or 4 mountain men.
Yeah, I know, so was it.
So we'd move the stage and move that stuff more into the center of the park. I think the sound would go better, more centrally located in the park, as we talked about a few things that way. So, talked about meeting probably towards the first of the year to start planning next year, so. Kind of where that's at.
Other than that, I don't have anything.
Okay.
I don't have much. I went up to talk to Brittany. She said all the girls and boys softball is all settled and done, with the championships and everything, and they've moved on into co-ed now in soccer. Everything's going good up there. She didn't have any problems this year. She was pretty happy about that. She didn't have any.
You do mean Stephanie, don't you?
Yeah, Stephanie.
You said Brittany.
Well, Brittany, yeah, Stephanie's who I'm talking about. I talked to Brittany too. She's going on vacation on us. So she
probably needs it after the fall.
Yeah, I'll say.
I keep stealing your candy.
Yeah, everything's going good up there. I questioned her on them fins. I thought they was $135 a pair. I said, what kind of fins are they? But she said it was for the whole, she got some, I think, 5 cents.
Yeah.
For that price.
Yeah.
Everything going good, both departments up there, swim pool and rec department, so. Cruise along.
Lundy.
Well, we've got a lot of discussion about roads lately. We approved a mile in the council meeting, I think it was July 13th.
The last one.
Yeah, using lift tech.
You wasn't here.
Yeah.
So we did it for you.
I was kind of involved with Don and then lift tech roads in the process, but he was down today measuring Aspen Village and 7th East. And what he found is...
7th East or 5th East?
7th. So we found between Aspen Village and 7th East is 0.4. And if we throw in 5th East, that's 0.9. So it's not quite a mile. And the reason we bring in Aspen Village is because we just dug that place up, putting in those new water services and that new water system, and it's terrible. I mean, most folks don't see it because they don't drive through Aspen Village, but it's hands down. I mean, I drove through there in my truck, and it's, you're 4 or 5 miles an hour top speed.
One step to back up on Aspen Village. In our last RDA meeting, we asked Mon to look into that one lot. He called me 2 or 3 days later, and hopefully he's got it under contract, the lot that we needed for the drainage. So that's part of the reason why I called Rondi, sent him more into Aspen Village since we'd already approved the mile of road. So.
And that's great news because that gives us somewhere for the stormwater to go.
Yeah.
And so it can run off the new roads into that road gutter, and it'll end up in that kind of a storage basin there.
Little bait retention basin.
But so, if we went with Aspen Village, 5th East, and 7th East, which is just that one block that goes over to the Kingman Hall, we're looking at 0.9.
What if we stretched it down and took it around the corner?
That's what I'm saying. That'd give you the block that you need to get your mile.
That would be the block to get a mile.
And that whole section would be done.
And then in addition to that, so he figures he can do all that for $187,000. And that is deducting the 90 tons of product that we already have. So that's a game there of a deal to get a mile of road for $187,000. That leaves us, you know, roughly $150,000 in our budget. So if we wanted to go ahead and approve Fifth South, that would be an additional $110,000, which brings our grand total up to, he said, I think it was $297,000, give or take $10,000, which still leaves us about $50,000 under budget and gives us a mile and a half of road.
What's Fifth South?
That'd be from State Street down to Fifth West.
Yeah.
That's my street.
I didn't know that. I just know we've done 6 South. We've done 6 South, and there's a lot of school traffic that goes up Fifth South. They take their kids up to school.
I've been waiting 12 years for this day.
Wait a minute. You enter on Second West, though.
Huh?
You enter your house on Second West.
Well, that one needs to be done, too.
That's going to be the next one.
They all need to be done.
So
Robert would appreciate that.
You know, I'm proposing that in addition to the mile we approved, that we put it on our agenda in our next council meeting for discussion and action, that we look at doing, in addition to that, Fifth South, and we're still $50,000 under budget.
Hey, Ron, do you think about the block on Fifth North we need to chip?
I guess that's what I just can ask. What does that entail for what needs to be chipped, though? If you can get through to see what needs to be chipped.
Up there.
All right. So when we have the double chip seal guys in town, you're talking about the lot split?
Yeah.
We was hoping to get that done while they're in here doing the double chip seal.
Yeah.
And
so what money do we need for that, do we know?
Well, the agreement we made with the folks that built up there is we go half and half with them. So I couldn't tell you. I don't have an estimate.
I'll be talking to them to let them know.
And we need
you might need to coordinate with them because they were supposed to prep everything, right? With road base, and then just so all they had to do is go in and chip seal.
Right. And there was a dollar that we agreed upon to go.
So they can compact it and make action.
Tips.
Because they'll keep on hold up on nothing without compaction, I guarantee.
Yeah, we can't just throw it on gravel.
So it probably needs to meet a compaction.
MKDA builds it. I'll reach out to them tomorrow.
But
we had talked about doing that while we have the chip seal contractor in town. Getting that tied up and finished before we set them on and forget about it. And that's the last one we want to do. So.
We didn't have a bunch of chips on the ground for 3 years.
So, bottom line, we could do a mile and a half for $50,000 on the budget. And using this Lift Tech product, it's a real composite that's super hard. You know how hard it is because you had to chisel through it. I think the lifespan's longer than asphalt, and it's a third of the cost of asphalt. And that'll give us some nice roads for those folks up in Aspen Village. We can't expect them to deal with that any longer than they have to. And we pay a mobilization fee. So while we have them in town, we might as well take advantage of them while they're here.
And they're going to fix the cut on four.
And button that up, and that'd be great.
I want to see how that balances together.
So maybe we can get that additional half a mile on our agenda next.
So where's Paul at on the services up there?
I think we've got six more. So there's the lots that weren't included in the first go around, and I think he's only got one more person that won't sign to let us do it.
Last time I talked, I thought RDA said there was four.
That's what I think he said, four.
So I'm wondering, sign and do it.
I'm wondering, can we at least stub the, get it out of the road and put the meat, stub the meter on and then.
On those four that won't sign?
Yeah.
The meter's already stubbed. It's already down.
Oh, that's right. They're out of the road.
Right. It's the others that were vacant. It wasn't.
Yeah, so water. Those shouldn't be an issue, right?
Well, the only ones we'd have is the ones that didn't have a water, or didn't have a trailer there, wasn't paying a water assessment because the grant wouldn't run the water into those lots. So there would be.
What was the cost on that?
What is there? Three or four lots there. One that burnt, one next to it, the other one on the south. There's three. One just as you come in.
Two up top.
Yeah, so there's probably six or seven lots that we would have to hurry and get the water at least over the property.
Yeah.
Could be worth doing that, though.
Yeah, you might want to look at it and make sure they're even buildable lots before we stubble out service in.
His time frame obviously is based on when we make a decision. They mentioned that they could do it as late into late October. So
for the
we got a little time. We don't need to rush into it, but. If we picked up Aspen Village, 7th East, 6th East is already done. We pick up 5th East, we did 4th East last year, 3rd East is done. That'd be a real nice quadrant in town. The mayor mentioned we need to be fair. We can't just focus on the east side. So he mentioned maybe we ought to do a road on the west side, and then that's why I bring up this south. And we have the money in our budget for it, so maybe we can talk about it in our next meeting.
You won't get any argument out of me on that.
And the money's there, so, and we're paying the mobilization. Anyway, we can talk about it more in our next meeting.
I'll take samples today.
Right.
The samples, they come up from the lab in Santa Fe to do the road samples, and they take a 12 by 12 by 12 sample. And that's something he isn't able to do. That they come, people that do the road samples, come up from Santa Fe. And we don't want to have them sample a bunch of stuff that we're not going to have them do, because I think they waive the sampling costs if we use that product for that road within 90 days.
Yeah.
So we just need to decide what we're going to do, make a final decision in our next meeting, and then we can get them coming up here doing some road samples, and that way that cost, if in fact we do that road within 90 days.
Sounds like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah. And that, I'm sure that'll leave enough in our budget to continue patching potholes and getting that double chip seal down on Fifth Millen. That's all that I got, little mayor.
Sam?
Only thing else I got is, the CERT classes have started for the community people. They said they had 35 people attending it. Some of them are for Spring City though, so I don't know exact numbers. Question I have is they, when they get done with the class, they're supposed to get, like a little hard hat and a vest and some safety stuff. I don't know, I would imagine the city probably should supply that, or they're gonna be like volunteer for the city. Is there any issues with that? If we look into pricing on that?
Let's look at the pricing and decide.
Just to see.
And see how many is actually about, how many.
Yeah, I'm not gonna, yeah.
I'm just looking at.
So, one other thing was that, who's unlocking the building and locking the building for?
We're gonna discuss that Friday.
Okay, because I know they got in yesterday, but when they left the building unlocked all night.
Yes.
So.
We.
If I need to, I can, or Mary Lou's offered to run over.
Actually, I've got it over there, we're gonna meet with her on Friday, that's one of the things we're discussing, so. So we'll discuss on Friday.
For that, that door is always open, I've noticed.
We shut it quite often.
Every time I've come in through the station, the last few months, that door's been cracked open. So, just wanted, thought I'd bring that up.
I have to change this.
Yeah, we close it quite often.
Don't worry, it's closed.
It's closed now.
So, other than that.
You're not gonna eat that last one?
Oh, sure.
No, I'm not, here we go, I'm gonna eat that.
Not supposed to be saying.
Just can't get into it.
You see it, when you leave, you can close it. Jim, did you wanna make your announcement on the other guy?
Oh, yeah, we've, we're, new position is approved, we've interviewed a candidate out of, he's from Tampa County. He's worked in Hurricane for about 4 months, and saw this position open up and wanted to come back to Tampa County, so he'll be starting tomorrow. We thought it'd be a few more weeks, but he talked to his people down there, and they said where he's on, he's in training still with them. He doesn't need to give him 2 weeks, so he'll be starting tomorrow, highway officer.
That's good. Who's that?
His name is John Blackburn.
John Blackburn.
And he can come to the next meeting of the two parties.
He's originally from Mayfield.
He graduated high school, spent 4 years in the military, and then went to school and graduated from Dixie State in their law enforcement program, and was picked up by Hurricane, not so much working right now. Moving up here and starting tomorrow, so I'll bring you by in the next council meeting and introduce him to you. Excited to have him.
That is awesome.
If I can find, had some vehicles approved to purchase, and I talked to him again today, and they're not gonna be available, so somebody's gonna be driving around in a part-time car for a while still. I don't know, they said that there's no new vehicles to replace their used ones that they were gonna get rid of, and we got a good deal with I think it's a 2018 Ford Explorer for $13,000 fully equipped, so I'm just gonna pick that up and use that. And well, we can't get them yet because there's no new cars coming in to replace theirs, so and he doesn't know when it'll happen. So. Other than that, we're on track and things should work out okay. So I'll be sure to bring him in next time, next council meeting.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Couple things I have. Burgess Owens and his office is going to do a meeting here in the City Hall on August 4th at 7 p.m. for all the farmers in the area that's affected by the drought. He's got farm services coming with him. So if you guys hear anything about it, you'll at least know what's going on. And that's at 7 p.m.
August 4th?
Yes.
And then a little invitation to city party on August 21st, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for the swimming pool. Please RSV.
Saturday, what is that on?
It's a Saturday.
And just told everybody thanks for all that you did.
So you're going to drown us?
Just you.
Thank you. I should have joked about it.
If you could RSV Jeannie so we know kind of a number for...
It is for you and your family.
Yeah.
From 11 a.m. to 1, huh?
Yep. Then we talked about the heart deal, so I think that's all I have.
And I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed?
Aye. A little ugly discussion tonight on the water. That's a good thing.